Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday, November 17th, 2021. And away we go, 16 minutes past the hour. And just to alert everybody, and I know people don't really want to hear this right now, but we are now 7 days away from Thanksgiving Eve, 8 days away from Thanksgiving. Can you believe next Wednesday, 7 days from today, will be the day before Thanksgiving? That's almost inconceivable for me to think about. It seems like this whole autumn, late summer season has went incredibly fast. But here we are in that mode. Next week, people will be putting up their holiday decorations. Well, what am I talking about? People are putting those up now, so it really doesn't matter. But the holidays will really get moving next Wednesday, and it really does start the day before Thanksgiving. The day before Thanksgiving seems to be a tip-off point now. I think it's because everybody goes to the store and gets their last-minute items that they need for the big Thanksgiving the next day. I think it's because a lot of sales start that day when it comes to whatever they call it now, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Cyber Sales. I don't know. The big sales, some of those seem to start on Wednesday now. I know a lot of the department stores were doing that 2 years ago. I really don't know what they did last year, and I don't know what they're doing this year, but it all really does get underway in about 7 days, so you got a week. You got a week to relax, and then starting next Wednesday, you have about 31 days of pure chaos, because there are 30 days this year between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Thanksgiving falls on November 25th. Christmas is on December 25th. 30 days. Next Wednesday, November 24th, will be Thanksgiving Eve. So 31 days of madness. And we always have a fun time on Thanksgiving Eve here at the station and the day after Thanksgiving, because we are on the air that Friday morning. So stay tuned for all of that programming. Now, we've got a guest coming up here in about 12 minutes. That's going to be it's a very interesting conversation this morning to have. But before we do that, now, this is going to seem very vague, but it's very big considering what we've been doing here at this station. Now, there's a lot of housekeeping to do today, by the way. And today also kicks off a big day. Now, tomorrow morning, and I'm not going to tell you what it is, you just have to tune in tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning's going to be a very fun morning on this show. You do not want to miss tomorrow morning, Thursday morning, between 8:10 a.m. and 10 a.m. Tune in at all costs tomorrow morning. That's all I'm going to say about that, because we have a 24-hour period here coming up of just a lot of fun that will culminate tomorrow morning on this show with a really fun program. Now, aside from that, we have this Geraldo Journal. Now, here's why I'm bringing this up this morning, and this is going to sound very vague, but it really is the first big news we've had in regard to this Geraldo Journal in a very long time. Now, as many of you know, we started doing this Geraldo Journal on September the 16th, 2021. Now, the whole point of this journal was to get legendary talk show host, crazy man himself, Geraldo Rivera, on this program. Now, this started, let's see, how many days ago now? Well, it's the 17th of November. There are 31 days in October. So, 61 days ago, we started doing this journal. 61 days ago today. Okay. And initially what happened was, If you don't know, Geraldo's on a radio station, WTAM, in Cleveland. And the initial thought was that we have had all the great talk show hosts in the history of talk shows on this show. We've had Dick Cavett. We've had Phil Donahue. We've had Jerry Springer. We've had Larry King. We've had them all on this show. And I'm sure there are others that Sally Jesse Raphael has been here. And I'm sure there are others that I'm forgetting. But we've had them all on this show. So why not Geraldo Rivera? He's in the Cleveland area. He's doing a radio show in Cleveland. Why not Geraldo on this show? And also Geraldo's nuts. So we've just thought, boy, this would be great to get Geraldo on the show. So this started on September 16th, and you, the listeners, were right there with me all the way. You called the station up there, WTAM. You got emails. You mailed letters. You emailed them. You called them to a point where the station actually said they were bombarded by emails and calls from the station. Bombarded. And I appreciate that quite a bit. But then the trail kind of went cold. We started big in September. Even those Boston pinheads, I think, were in on it, but not really. So all this was going on, and through October, we had a lot of comment on this. Sam Donaldson commented on this, said he was going to call Geraldo. We had Kreskin on at one point. We had Opal Covey, the famous clairvoyant up in Toledo, Ohio. We had the Reverend Dr. Lady Bishop, the famous voodoo doctor. And everybody's commenting on Geraldo. Well, really, for about the last month, we have had no entries in this book except did not hear from Geraldo. And I even had people call in here and say, why are you still doing that? There's not a snowball's chance in a very warm place that Geraldo's ever going to come on the show. Well, now I have to say this very vaguely as I update the book today. And here's today's Geraldo Journal entry for the 17th of November, 2021. Now, today, I cannot say, well, I guess I could say I did not hear from Geraldo, because I did not hear from Geraldo. This is absolutely true. So, we're going to start off with this. Did not hear from Geraldo personally. Now, here's why I say that. Because there has long been a question, does Geraldo even know this is going on? Does he have any clue this is going on? Or do the people at WTAM up in Cleveland, are they keeping this as their own little secret up there? So, yesterday afternoon, and I have to phrase it just this way. I can't give any more information than this. But here's the entry today, so get ready, stop whatever you're doing, pull the car over to the side of the road, put tape on your listening device, tear the knob off the radio, and if you're doing your Geraldo Journal at home, like I have, for 61 days, get ready for a big entry today. This is big, and it's good it comes before the holidays like this. Now, yesterday, I had an exchange, is what we'll call it, with someone very, and you can capitalize very, all letters, V-E-R-Y, close to Geraldo. Now, in this exchange with this person, who is very, very close to Geraldo, what they told me was, and I'm going to put this in here, person told me he is very busy. I think it was through the 1st of December is what they said. Through December 1st. But he is aware of Other than that, I cannot give you any more information at this point, except that this person gave me a contact to deal with Geraldo directly. I guess more directly than dealing with WTAM, the station up there. So that is the Geraldo journal entry today, and I think this is a very big journal entry as we head into the holiday season. So remember, if you're just tuning in, this is breaking news. If this was CNN, the yellow thing would be running across the screen right now. It would be breaking news. Did not hear from Geraldo personally, but I had an exchange with someone very, all capitals, V-E-R-Y, close to Geraldo. This person told me he is very busy through December the 1st, but he is aware of what is going on, and this person gave me a contact to deal with Geraldo directly. Now, any more than that, I can't say. I can't reveal who this person is, because I don't want them bombarded with things, because this is a very nice person. And also, I don't want to say exactly what this person said, but I can, and I'm going to put this in the journal. The exchange with this person was very positive. So that's the journal entry for today. It's a big one in regard to the Geraldo journal. Now, I don't know what more will come of this, but at this point, that's where we are. A big journal entry here on Wednesday, November 17th, 2021. Maybe the turning point. Because as I said, we all have to have a purpose in life. And I understand people might not care that this is my purpose at this point. But the purpose is starting to gain momentum. And you know something? You learn things in the process of doing a journal like this. I know that a lot of people have sent very positive things to this radio station, WTAM, but apparently some negative things were also sent to WTAM. Now, I don't care that negative things were sent to WTAM, but I do know that the people up there laughed at it. Now, that's funny to me, because I wasn't even aware that this had happened, that people were sending negative things, and to be honest with you, I have no idea who sent negative things up there to try to detour this interview, but it's my understanding from this person very close to Geraldo that the people at the radio station up there and Geraldo himself, I guess, I can't say for sure, but that they just thought that was kind of funny that somebody would go out of their way to try to intervene in stopping an interview, because apparently, Geraldo has been involved in some big controversies in his career, so he just thought that was ironic, I guess, and the people at the station thought it was ironic, but it just goes to show you that there are people out there who will always try to put a monkey wrench in your plans. But, you know what, I guess in this particular point, I have to thank the people who tried to put a monkey wrench in the plans, because it ended up working for me. Now, we're going to turn our attention here for a moment to something very important. I'm not sure if it's in the hard copy of the newspaper today or if it will be in the hard copy tomorrow. I think it's in the hard copy today, but it was certainly available online yesterday in the 2 p.m. hour. And it's a big story here in Marion because, as many of you know, before the school year started, Marion City Schools, the biggest school district in our county, put a mask mandate in. And at the time, this was a very controversial thing. There were protests. There was a school board meeting that got a little heated, should we say. A lot of things were said on the internet. And that's the way things go nowadays, but that happened. And Marion City School started the school year with a mask mandate. I don't believe at that time any of the other county schools did, but eventually they all had to follow suit because of outbreaks, quarantines, things of that nature. Well, as of yesterday, we learned that Marion City Schools, when they come back from their Thanksgiving break, I believe it's in early December, will no longer have the mask mandate. And to learn why that is and how that happened for the next 15 minutes, we're joined by a very nice gentleman, has always come on the program when I've asked him to, the superintendent of the Marion City Schools, Dr. Ron Arusi. Dr. Arusi, how are you?
I'm great, Scott. Good morning to you. Thanks for having me on again today. I appreciate you.
Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on. I read the article yesterday that I think was published in the newspaper, will be in the hard copy today. No masks after Thanksgiving vacation. How did this all come about?
Well, you know, Scott, first of all, that's the plan today, which we've learned through the pandemic could change tomorrow. So it's all based on the collection of some data that we get, whether it's from our health officials or our own research into what's happening in Marion City Schools, and that plays a big part in some of the decision-making process as well. So, you know, and I'll go back to the beginning of the year, which you mentioned before, you know, probably late July, early August, our protocol in relation to COVID would be to strongly recommend masks for any of our students who are unvaccinated. At that point, you know, we saw a real downtick in the amount of confirmed cases. And so, you know, our recommendation was, to wear masks again if you have an immunocompromised situation or, you know, you feel safer because you're unvaccinated. And we would also be recommending at that point that if you were determined to be a close contact of a confirmed case within the school building, that you would be able to actually stay in school if you wore a mask the whole time you were there. So the mask to stay concept was what we were going into the year. And then, you know, things kind of went south from there as far as the Delta variant and the number of confirmed cases and the rise in confirmed cases throughout the county. So, you know, our goal from the start was to keep our kids in school as much as possible. And, you know, the quarantine rules at that point were if students wear masks, and they were, you know, within outside 3 feet of each other, that they did not need to quarantine if they were in close contact with a confirmed case. And so if we were not having masks on, we would have quarantined hundreds of students. And I think that's what happened to around the county was, you know, they determined that because students weren't wearing masks, you know, they were having to quarantine kids at home. And we've learned from the pandemic that many of our students struggle with at-home instruction for whatever reason. It's just a lot of self-directed. In Marion, I know that it's a struggle for our families to provide, you know, child care while those students are at home. So you might be at grandma's or something along those lines. You don't have the technology skills that you need to be able to do that. So, you know, it all goes back to keeping our students in school. So when 2.5 weeks ago, when ODH came out and said, based on the pilot schools that were in Wayne County, Ohio, so 8 school districts in Wayne County started the school year with masks optional, but used the mask to stay quarantine rules instead of what was happening in the rest of Ohio. And the result there was those 8 school districts in Wayne County did not see any significant differences from any of the schools that had mask mandates and testing and those kinds of things. So coupled with that, you know, the idea that the students can still remain in school if they're considered a close contact and they have to wear masks at that point is that layer of protection. But again, you know, that was feel like the health department has change some of their recommendations. And quite honestly, Scott, we're seeing quite a bit of the downturn. Even, you know, with the mask at the beginning of the year, we were averaging 13 confirmed student cases per day. You know, the total number last week, I think, was 4. So we're certainly seeing, you know, less cases than we've kind of said all along. You know, our kids are, you know, there's certainly some mask fatigue. We are handing out about 10,000 masks per week. And so, you know, we think we need to take a look at that structure, and, you know, hopefully we will see the same results in relation to, you know, the amount of kids, confirmed cases. Again, if we see any uptick in any of these, you know, we will go back to the mask mandate for sure.
Dr. Arusi, I'll tell you, you know, timing's everything, and certainly nobody can say that Marion City Schools has not been very cautious, and we understand mask fatigue. I think everybody has it who's been wearing them, and this pandemic's been going on for a year and a half. But the interesting thing for me was yesterday, every Tuesday we talked to Tracy Kinsler on the air, Marion Public Health Commissioner, and yesterday when she came on, she said in Marion County we were seeing a decrease, but now we're seeing an uptick again because of the holidays. She's very worried because of the holidays, she said yesterday. She says she feels it will be like it was last year. The vaccination rate has not went up since September much at all. We're only at 47% in Marion County, still well below the state average, well below the national average. The hospitals are starting to see more people admitted. She said yesterday that we did see a downtick, but as of apparently this week, we're seeing an uptick again, and 72% of people, I think was the poll yesterday, are going to celebrate Thanksgiving with their loved ones, vaccinated or not. So to see this announcement yesterday was interesting after talking to her.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, there's obviously a lot of things to consider in making some of these decisions. And again, you know, we don't have the regular meetings with the health department as we used to, so we kind of take a lot of our data that we're seeing locally. We actually use a system that was created by Ohio State University that monitors within a school district the amount of transmission, and so we use that on a weekly basis to determine what our trends are within our school district as well. You know, the other piece of this is Ohio Health has been a great partner to us. You know, they've allowed us to actually, many of our teachers were able to get their booster shot last Friday, which we're very appreciative of Ohio Health working with us to provide booster shots for our staff. So we feel like our staff has an extra layer of protection. But we also have the juvenile vaccine that will be administered on this Saturday. Ohio Health is working with us, Pleasant, and River Valley at this point to schedule vaccines for our students. And so they will be able to have that level of protection. And again, you know, I know, completely understand, you know, last year we had to make some adjustments, but those adjustments came after Thanksgiving. I think we'll continue to monitor that. Again, hopefully we see the same trends. If not, again, you know, we will go back to our mask mandate and monitor the cases from there. But so again, you know, I understand that, you know, there's some concern over that. Basically, right now in our school district, we're not seeing near what we saw before. And again, you have to understand, I mean, the mask wearing for our students on a regular basis is, you know, a layer of protection for us. We still have those other safety protocols in place. We still maintain some social distancing, but, you know, we want to see how this impacts the instruction and the behaviors that we're seeing over the next couple weeks. And we'll continue to monitor that. And if we have to, as I said, you know, we'll reconvene and go back to a mask mandate. It's obviously not an exact science.
Yeah, it's very tough. It's very hard to make these decisions, and I think anybody would say that. Do you think, though, I mean, I think a lot of people would say that the reason the numbers are good and things are okay is because we have had this mask mandate. Now, we know there's a lot of controversy in regard to the mask mandate, but, you know, the county schools here in Marion, for better or worse, decided when the school year started, hey, you know, we don't think we need that. We're going to start the year and see how it goes. And like dominoes, they all had to eventually go to that. And I think some people might say the reason that the numbers are good right now in Marion City Schools and other places is because there are masks in place.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly part of the data to take a look at. You got to remember, again, many of the reasons why the county schools kind of went to what we did early on was because of the number of quarantines. But quarantines are on the rise when confirmed cases are in the building. So if you have, you know, 13 cases per day, that could result in as many as, depending on the quarantine rules, you know, it could be hundreds of students that are quarantined and sent home for 14 days. So there's, you know, there's the issue of quarantine. Now, we have not seen a lot of, even when students are quarantined, very small instances of when a student is quarantined, they actually become infected with the virus, or they, so those numbers are also down in relation to that. So, you know, keeping the kids, you know, in school, monitoring what's happening to quarantines, making sure that, you know, we're not in a place where we're sending a lot of kids home, we're able to keep them in school and have that layer of protection is, again, also part of that decision.
Two quick questions here. We've got Dr. Arusi for four more minutes here. When it comes to this, these numbers tend to run about 2 weeks behind, and like I said, we had the opportunity to talk to Tracy yesterday. Are you nervous that this mask mandate will be lifted after people spend the holiday with their family, which apparently 72% of the public is planning to do, in a time in Marion County where the vaccination rate's 47% and not really climbing at all, and also that the hospitals are starting to fill back up and the vaccination or the diagnosis rate is on an upturn right now?
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, during this pandemic, Scott, there's, you know, we're always have a concern about, you know, the safety and issues of those, but, and we're also concerned with the social emotional part of our students and how they learn and what's happening to them with social skills. And that's something I think that, you know, people forget sometimes is, you know, we look at the learning slide that occurred over the last couple of years in relation to our students and the amount of, you know, socialization skills that our kids missed out on for a year and a half due to the change in how we operate and do business is also that part of that consideration. You know, at some point, hopefully we can get back to some sense of normalcy so our kids can learn at the rate they need to. I mean, we had probably a 12% slide over the year and a half, which was for Marion City, it's never good when our kids take a step backwards, but the average across the state is about 18 to 19% as far as their achievement rates there. And actually, we, you know, we're monitoring data right now to take a look at, you know, where our students at with learning too. So, you know, the learning piece is important. The social-emotional skills are important as well as those layers of protection for the pandemic. So all of those things need to be taken into consideration when we're talking about that. I think many, many school districts, even in central Ohio and us, are moving again back towards, you know, those reconsidering the mask mandate, making sure that our kids, you know, have those opportunities, have every opportunity to learn the instruction they need to in school as well. So, you know, many, many school districts are certainly having that conversation.
Final question here, Dr. Arusi. It was very clear at the beginning of the year, the newspaper covered it, we came to a school board meeting, that there was a lot of backlash to having the mask mandate at a school board meeting. There was a protest at one point. People have been very vocal on social media. Was there any pressure put on to get rid of this? If people had been okay with it and said, oh, you know, that's fine, we'll do what we have to do until this gets better, would they have been left in place? Because the criticism has been continuous in all facets of life.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, Scott, this right now, it's the pandemic, masks, vaccinations, all have a political aspect to it. And whatever decisions you make, we understand at this point that probably half of the people are going to support it and half aren't, no matter what decision you make. And so, you know, we just focus on the kids. We want to make sure that, you know, our kids are learning at the rate they need to learn. We're talking to our principals and our teachers about what's happening in classrooms with behaviors and, you know, the amount of mask fatigue that we're seeing, you know, those kinds of things is all part of that. You know, I mean, people can have their opinions and make the decisions. We talk to them and we listen to them, but we have to monitor our student success and our student data to make those decisions in-house. Mm.
Very interesting. I thank you for joining us again. And if you haven't heard, when Marion City Schools returns from the Thanksgiving holiday break, the mask mandate will be lifted. But again, nothing's written in stone. And if things should change, I'm sure that the officials there will do something in regard to that. Marion City School Superintendent Dr. Ron Arusi, thank you for the update as always.
Scott, always good to talk to you.
Stay well.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Have a good day.
Dr. Ron Arusi, superintendent from Marion City Schools, there you go. The mask mandate in Marion City Schools will be gone when the students return from holiday break. Now, this is coupled with the information that we got yesterday from Tracy Kinsler that cases in Marion are now on the uptick again, and there is some concern over the holiday season. And I guess what you should say is the hospital is filling up again. So here we are. What do you do? 740-383-9944. We've got about 14 minutes left in this hour. Does anybody have anything to say in regard to this or anything we talked about yesterday on the show or the Geraldo Journal? Anything on your mind, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. Oh, I do want to thank... First of all, I want to thank Angie, who this morning dropped off a mushroom and cheese omelet here at the studio. Now, that was delicious. I'm a big fan of mushrooms. Now, not overdone mushrooms. You know, I don't like a ton of them. But this mushroom and cheese omelet was very, very good this morning. So I thank her for doing that. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I had a very enjoyable morning this morning. I went up by... Lady Justice, and looked at her from a view from the towers there, looking at her, and what a beautiful sight. The way the overcast is, and the way they've redone the roof and stuff on the courthouse, and with her up there, looks like she's got a full length down, all the way down on the rooftop. I did not know all the work that they have been doing up on the top of the courthouse, but... I talked to Judge Edwards yesterday, and he explained what they've been doing and everything, and I found him to be very interesting to talk to you as an official of Marion, a judge of Marion, and I thought he'd done a good job. And I got a few things I was going to tell you about. I got up there and I stayed in the, or parked in the Fay parking lot. Just a minute, I'm going from one point to the other, and I'll be done. Okay. And I talked to the workers. I saw the workers there in the parking lot there at the courthouse. And so I said to them, I said, boy, I watched every minute of the rise of the Lady Justice. And I said, you guys are really professional people. I said, you really knew what you were doing, and I could tell. Yeah, there wasn't no him hauling around. Everybody had a job to do, and there wasn't no hesitation of what to do. And so I asked a couple of facts I thought might be interesting to the public, that it was to me. I looked at the boom, and I said, say, how many feet in the air was the top of that boom? And he said, that extends out to about right there, you know, not Pacific, but 205 foot. And I said, well, how high is Lady Justice? And they said, approximately 175 foot in the air. And so they took a laser. You know, laser is a real fascinating tool they use. But at an angle, he said that the top of Lady Justice was 175 foot. So I thought that was pretty neat. I looked up the boom from the ground, and... it about made you dizzy looking at the top of the boom. But, and Judge Edwards, he told me about the construction on the top of the courthouse, and I thought, well, that must coincide with the rising of Lady Justice. After they get that done, naturally, well, they put that on, and that's the last thing that's going to be up there for a while. And the construction workers, they told me there was two brothers in Hancock County had done the work on Lady Justice, and they said that they was really good, that he knew them personally, but they're all young fellas. Of course, here I am, old guy, but they're all young fellas, and they all paid attention to me when I was talking to them, and they all, and I thanked all of them, and shook their hand, the boss's hand, and he's this young guy too. And I said, boy, there is a lot of people and a lot of things and a lot of young people that don't get credit for nothing, but I'll give them credit. And I talked to Mr. Gornflow, and I met him. Now, I think he has something to do. I heard you talk about it on the air there. Isn't it with City Council or something?
I think Rich Gorenflow, no, he was the one who was going to get, he told Dean Rankert that we wanted to talk to him.
Oh, well, what position is Mr. Gorenflow then? Was he in Marion?
I don't think he has any position.
Well, he was right there with the top official. I talked to the councilman there, and they really was nice to me, and I think the whole outfit there at the site of Lady Justice Meeting Up, really, I was treated very well, and nobody knew me, just a little old guy from Marion, you know, and so I have to commend everybody that was involved in that thing, and the day I was up there yesterday, that I really was impressed. So
now, do you have any idea what do you think happened with the time capsule, which apparently is still missing in action at this point?
Well, I baited you into that, Scott. I just left that to the last. As I was leaving, I told the guys, they turned around, I said, hey, all of you there in one spot, and they're going back up on the roof to remove the last remainings of the scaffold and stuff. And I said, hey, guys, I said, can you verify, was there a calf, a PCV pipe inside there? They said, no, there was nothing inside Lady Justice. So that was...
Now, who said that?
The workers.
Oh, the workers.
Lady Justice up there and was around her all those hours and stuff, putting her up there and everything. They said there was no PCV pipe inside Lady Justice. So that was verification. You know, the other words you hear, he said, she said, they said, we said, I don't go that. And that's why, that's why I commend Judge Edward. You know, there he is, a judge, and he was spearheading the head of that promotion of that lifting of Lady Justice up there, the way I understand what they told me. And everybody took time to talk to you and tell you. And when you talk to one person like that, mouth to mouth there like that, you believe in them. You know, there I talked to a judge, and the judge told me, and he kind of gave me they probably thought, who the heck is this guy? And I asked him, I said, what kind of monies did they have in restoring the roof and stuff? And Lady Justice wasn't, per se, in the amount, but I'm not going to say the amount because it was quite a bit. Anybody can find out if they want to find herself, but I'm not going to leave that. Ted said this and Ted said that. But the commissioners, I guess, know the amount that restoring Lady Justice. So that was all in a ball of wax, but it's a good big figure there on there. But getting back to the last, and I'll let you go, that I was really impressed this overcast day, and looking at it from the towers coming down off the top of the hill there going up to the courthouse. I parked in the Fay Bank parking lot there and had binoculars, looked it all over. It's this absolutely beautiful sight. I would have never known they redone all the top of that roof if it wasn't for the judge being nice enough to tell me that personal thing, whether it was, it wasn't personal, it was public, but I would have never known it until I saw it this morning with my own eyes. So I just say that, and then like you say, big crowd, little crowd, whatever, there was a lot of people at the towers. Buddy, you can get a view of that Lady Justice long ways off, but a lot of people's got powerful spotter scopes and binoculars, and you'd be surprised how many eyes was looking at that lifting of Lady Justice in Marion. Now, you'd be surprised, because I said some of the parking lots, I went around there for about 15 minutes prior to, before they ever began lifting Lady Justice, and there was a lot of people in parked cars. You've seen them looking up and stuff and looking around. So, yeah, it was an exciting day for me, and I'm just an old guy, but Jeannie and I, we had a good time and being classmates and stuff and talking to her family and stuff. It was nice. So I talked to Dick Carey also, And he was, of course, I've seen him and talked to him several times, but, and Shorty, the buddy that was with him when they lifted Lady Justice and took her away, why, he just lives a few doors from me, but I knew him and I talked to him out the fairground and stuff. He was really interested in horse racing, so he's a heck of a nice guy, yeah. So I had a good time, and I just thought I'd pass it on to the rest of the people that it was a very, very enjoyable part of my life seeing that up there. So it'll probably never come down again, per se, to get worked on in my time, but I know it's up there.
That's right. It's up there, hopefully, for a long, long time. Hey, thanks for calling.
Sure. Thanks,
bye-bye.
Scott.
Well, we have a little bit of news here, and you know, this is what it is, and I'm just going to read it as it is. As you know, many of the charges were turned over to a special prosecutor in regard to former city auditor Robert Landon, and that special prosecutor has ruled on this. No criminal charges should be charged out of the never-ending saga between Marion City officials. The information provided to me does not warrant criminal charges, as allegations cannot be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. Obviously, it would be within your authority to refer this matter to the appropriate authorities for misdemeanor or federal charges. My recommendation is that this evaluation, or evolution, excuse me, end with this lengthy chapter. Mr. Landon may have been incompetent or in a situation where he could never succeed. Either way, in my opinion, the constituents of Marion are best served by closing this matter with Mr. Landon's resignation, which occurred on October 18th, 2021, and that would be from Special Prosecutor Matthew Krall from Crawford County. So, there you go. The headline there is Crawford County Prosecutor Matthew Krall has completed his investigation into potential charges against former city auditor Robert Landon, and in findings released late Tuesday, Krall concluded that no criminal charges should be brought against Landon. There you go. And apparently he examined several allegations, including theft of mail, intimidation, retaliation, obstruction, and falsification. The investigation stemmed from long-running disputes between Landon and City Council. So, there you have it. No charges for Robert Landon in regard to this entire case. Anybody have anything to say about that? 740-383-9944. And that's that story. And maybe at this point, that will bring an end to that story as time will roll on by. 740-383-9944. 59 minutes past the hour. Well, a lot of news in this hour. A little update there on Lady Justice from one of our devoted listeners. And Marion City Schools, no mask mandate coming up after Thanksgiving. The mask mandate will be lifted at Marion City Schools, in Marion City Schools. And the special prosecutor from Crawford County has ruled on the Robert Landon case, and there will be no criminal charges. And that's the way that cookie crumbles. If you have anything to say, again, 740-383-9944. Have about 15 seconds before the top of the hour. I'll be on with Glenn Coble today, 10 a.m. until 12 noon. And then Glenn will be on 12 to 1. And Nate Redman, 4 to 5, Trinity Baptist Sunday Sermon, 6 to 7. All right, go on to break. Be back in 15 minutes.
The Talking Place. For legendary comedian Dick Gregory.
I just seek my prayer to the real God.